Really good to be here today. Here yesterday morning and had just an absolutely outstanding breakfast, so I'm going to have to put that into our schedule for you to join in on those. Those were amazing. You guys really do it right. You guys do it excellent. So thank you so much for having us here this weekend. When we come to Pickering, it feels like we're coming home. For us, we have a picture of Mark with our 10-year-old girl who's this high now, Madeline, as an infant. And so it's just going back, and they've really poured into our community year after year, more than any other community, more than any other person, and more than any other team. And so it's just been incredible. So I just want to thank you for that, for releasing him to come. And I've just been able to share that really just having a powerful impact. And so it's just really an extension of the ministry that you have here as you send them to come to us. And we are the better for it. I was saying, you know, I just really wouldn't know where we'd be. I don't think we'd be so rooted as we are now and having so much fun at Anchor City Church without you guys and our partnership. So thank you. It means a lot. Just you guys just continue to come, Mark and Bridget, and there's others of you that have come and continue to come and worship with us and minister upon us. And so it's just incredible. So thank you for that. It's powerful. You know, I see over this time, really, Mark has become a spiritual father to me. So it just talks about the deep reality and the deep, amazing ministry. But that's why it feels like it's coming home. I feel like I'm amongst family today. So it's just really good to be here. And so I really appreciate it. In our church, over the last month or so, just started to talk about the book of Colossians. And I felt that we'd talk on Colossians again this morning. And really, Colossians is just a fresh and vibrant revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Colossians is about. There's someone who wrote on Bible outlines of the book of Colossians. It says, "When it comes to preaching Christ, there is no epistle that keeps us more on track than the book of Colossians. The sufficiency of Christ is the bottom line answer to all that plagues us in our struggle against sin and flesh and Satan. Any man-made attempts to add to the finished work of Christ are exposed as futile and deceptive." Colossians 2:10 is really the core passage of Colossians. It says, "In Christ, you have been made complete. In Christ, you have been made complete." And we'll touch on that in a little bit. But understand, if you're looking, if you want to be complete, if you want to be fulfilled, if you want to be restored, then the answer is Jesus. It's just simply that. And so that's what the book of Colossians really comes to. Very early on in Colossians, it starts out, and it really starts as a prayer. And it starts in the first number of verses, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. And then it moves to a prayer of petition, a prayer of raising up in verses 9 to 14 of chapter 1. And that's really where I want to stay today. And so for me, it's really unique because it's a prayer that Paul is praying for the Colossian church from Rome. And so he's raising them up, he's praying for them, he's travailing for them in prayer, and he's doing the very same thing that we do between Anchor City Church and the Bridge, where we pray for one another, we travail for one another, we fight for each other in spirit realm to move into all that God has for us. And so really we have this, it's really a roadmap for us of how we can be praying for one another and what's important to be praying for as we do that. And so I just want to start reading, I'm going to read the passage first, Colossians 1:9-14, and then we'll go through it together. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so Paul outlines this beautiful prayer that he's saying, this is what I'm praying for you. The reason that he starts this, it says in verse 9, it says, "For this reason." And so he's instantly connecting back to the first few verses. Paul is in Rome. He's just heard about what's happened in this small town called Colossae. There was this gentleman named Epaphras, and he was saved by Paul's ministry in Laodicea. And so this young convert goes down the river and plants this church in Colossae. And so then the church gets going and gets started, and then this man, this young convert, goes and he walks to Rome and connects with Paul and tells him, hey, this is what's going on in the new church plan. I just wanted to let you know, and so we can kind of work this through a bit. And then so first of all, Paul gives this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving, and then he continues and he starts to move into, this is how I'm going to pray for you. But this prayer petition is really this a response of this wonderful report that Paul has just received of this young church. I mean, I think, isn't it amazing what the Lord can do through a new Christian? I mean, this man, he hears the word, and he goes, and he plants a church. And it's a vibrant, amazing church that's doing incredible things for God. And so don't discount yourself, please, for being young or for being new in the faith. Just be open to what the Holy Spirit's doing and let Him do it. I'm encouraged by that. I'm excited about that. So verse 9 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And so what we're finding here is the bedrock of this passage. Verse 9 kind of outlines for us what's going to take place for verses 10 through 14. And the core of that is he's saying, Paul is praying for God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. And so we hit one of the key aspects of Colossians, which is fulfillment. There is a heresy floating around that other spiritual entities could fill you. And Colossians drives home the point again and again that only Jesus Christ can fill you. And so that's an important lesson for us this morning. We live in a world that gives all kinds of reality of this can fill you, that can fill you, your job, your bank account, your marriage, your whatever that is can fill you. Colossians drives home the point, only Jesus Christ can fill you. So the good news is, if you want to be filled today, if you're still looking for that, if you say, yeah, I want to be satisfied, fulfilled, I want to be overflowing, your search is over. Because Jesus is in the house. Right? Your search is over. You're set. You're ready to go. And so you don't have to look another day. You don't need anything else today. Because the point is, if all those things that you're looking for to fill you, if you're not filled today, you won't be filled tomorrow. Because once you have all those things don't fill you. Only Jesus fills you. And let me tell you, when we settle that thing, there's a real peace and there's a real rest that can come upon our life. And then we can just kind of deflate the balloon and just kind of be in the peace of Christ. I'm filled. It said, we've already read in Colossians 2:10, in Christ you've been made complete. I looked it up in the Greek and it says, in Christ you've been made complete. That's it. It's done. You're fulfilled. Don't search anymore. It's good. It's good. That's good news for me. I'm excited about that as well. It's interesting, we can test that, can't we? We can just sort of say, no, I'll reject that, and I'll keep looking for fulfillment in other places. And then we look, and then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and then disappointment comes into our hearts. And then we can just settle that thing and say, Lord, I just confess that. I'm just looking for other things. I'm looking for that next thing to fill me. I just haven't found that peace. And the Lord says, no, it's me. It's just me. Please come to me. Please let me complete you. Verse 9, then it goes on and says, knowledge. And the knowledge here speaks of a deep and accurate comprehension of God's will. Whereas God's will refers to God's entire and full purpose of all He plans to accomplish through the life of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking towards in our life what Paul is praying for here for the Colossian people, is that they would come into a full knowledge of God's plan and purposes for their life through Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 ends with all wisdom and understanding. So looking at getting the clear discernment through the Spirit of God's will for your life. And see, that's where the hinge starts to take place. It's this reality of coming to a full knowledge of God's will for your life. And that's what verse 9, that's what we really get. And then it goes, verse 10 and 14, so that you, and the list. And it just starts to fill your hearts and fill your lives with the reality of Jesus Christ. So that you. It's just incredible. And so that, but the hinge point is to be filled with the knowledge of His will by the Holy Spirit. And so that's our journey. That's our desire. That's our heart. Lord, I want to know You deeply and intently. I want to come to You. I want to know who You are. I want to worship a revelation of who You are, not who I think You are, not who I've been told You are, but I want to know You face to face. I want to meet You face to face. I want to see You directly. And then I want to allow that thing, that revelation, that knowledge to drive me and to move me and to bring me into what You have for me. And that's the foundation point of what's happening here. Just knowing His will by the Holy Spirit. Lord, just crying out, what's Your will? I want to know You, the fullness of what You have for me in Jesus Christ. And once we have that, that just starts to permeate and starts to drip many things into our life in a new and a fresh way. And these are some of the things that we'll come into. So that you, verse 10 says, may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so it just starts out to live a life worthy of the Lord. So once we know His will, we can therefore live a life worthy of God because now we know His will. And so we can walk in this direction towards God because we know where God is going. We know where God wants us to be. And so it just sets the foundation. Oh Lord, that's Your will. Because imagine doing the opposite. Imagine just going out searching, trying to find Your way. You think you're going towards God's will, but if you're off on that, you're just headed in the wrong direction. And there's nothing there for you. And so it's this whole reality just kind of coming back and saying, no, Lord, I just want Your will. I want to know Your will. And I'm not going to move for a muscle until I get it. Until I get a revelation of You. Until I get a revelation of how my life fits into what You have going on according to Your kingdom. I'm going to wait for that, and I'm going to travail for that, and then out of that, I'm going to respond. Because if we get up early on that and start going in the other direction, then where we're going to find ourselves is actually further away from God's will. So we just sit and we just wait. And we sit and we wait. But we're Canadians. We like to be busy. We like to just kind of get at it. We like to just kind of, you know, we can be, you've got your smartphone, we can be just distracted all the time. It's easy. I'm guilty. Man, if we could just stop, be in His presence, Lord, and put the phone down. Unless your Bible's on the phone, that's okay. Just be in His presence. Be in the Spirit. Be in worship. Then move. Then we're actually going in the right direction. And it starts to unfold for us. It goes on, verse 10, pleasing the Lord in every way. This is convicting for me. When I wake up in the morning, is my primary focus to please the Lord today. Lord, I'm opening up my eyes. I'm happy. I'm excited. Is my heart today to please You before anyone else in my life? Is my desire to please You? Man, that's an amazing way to start the day. Lord, I just want to please You. I just want to please You. And by the way, by pleasing the Lord, everyone else starts to come around us, and those things in our life start to come and click in together. Our marriages come right because we're pleasing the Lord. Right? We want to fix our marriages. We just point our eyes to Jesus, and then our marriage comes to life. We want to have a relationship with our children. The same thing. Lord, I just want to please You today. And by doing so, I'm actually going to be pleasing those around me. Lord, at work or at church or whatever it may be. Lord, if I just please You. Because if I start pleasing someone else, things are going to get off track really quickly. And so, Lord, just bring me back to that place that when I get up in the day, I simply just want to please You. And that, for me, is a challenge, but that's where I would delight to be. if we were religious, we would please the Lord out of duty or expectancy. But thank you, Lord, we're Christians. So we please the Lord out of relationship. We please the Lord because we want nothing more to please Him, because we just love Him. Right? We just love Him. And because we love Him, we please Him. Right? It just makes sense. Kate and I have date nights on Thursday nights. And I delight in that. Yeah, date night. It's awesome. What's that? Mark's getting some notes, yeah. What do you do? Yeah. Well, we have a nice treat. And we get the little Sobeys cheesecakes is what we do. And we split it and let make it last 2 weeks. It's go all out. But it's our date night. And there's nothing. Everything's canceled that night. Right? But I'm there because I want to be with her because I love her. Right? Like, you're not going to... The ring of the phone doesn't matter to me because I want to be with Kate. Right? Like, that's the point. Like, it's not out of duty or expectancy. We don't set the clocks like, oh, it's 7 till 10:05. Like, this is what we're going to do. And it's none of that. It doesn't sound very romantic to me. It's just that reality. Because I love her. I want to be with her. When I love Jesus, I want to be with Jesus. I want to please Jesus. Right? It just takes away that whole heaviness thing of duty and expectancy and jumping hoops and that. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything fun about that. I don't want any really part of that. So thank you, Lord. We're Christians and we're followers of Jesus, and He set us free from that. And then it goes on and talks about seeing fruit in our lives and maturing in the faith. And so just this is all tied back to the reality of knowing the will of God. When I know the will of God, I will wake up in the day and I will want to please the Lord above all else. When I know the will of God, I will be growing in God. I will be moving towards God because I'm moving towards Him. And just by moving towards Him, I'm growing in Him. As I'm moving towards God, I'm moving and bearing more fruit in my life. There's more evidence that Jesus is in my life. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, there's fruit happening in my life because I'm just moving towards Him. But it's all tied to that getting to on my knees day after day, say, Lord, I want to know Your will above all else. I want to know Your heart. I want to know Your ways. I want to know who You are. And based on that, I'm now going to adjust my life accordingly and see the fruit of the Holy Spirit come through my life just because I'm understanding who You are and my life is adjusted accordingly. All of a sudden, everything starts to click into place. All of these things. And it just continues. Verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience. And I just love this. And it's just, as we live out our life with Jesus, our new understanding with God, we are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And I'm so thankful that it's His glorious might and not mine. I'm so happy about that. That makes me excited. It's not up to me. It's not up to my power. It's not up to what I can conjure up. It's up to what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me. And He's set me free. And He's empowered me from on high by the Holy Spirit. I'm now clothed in dynamite. I'm now established in Him. And now I can move and I can walk out in what God has for me. And not just His might, His glorious might. It's all the fullness of heaven. One day, you and I believe, in this room, we will all face Jesus. We will come face to face with Him on the throne room. And I believe, like in Revelation 1, as Jesus' best friend on earth, John, saw the glorified Jesus, he fell on his face like a dead man. I believe that will be you and I. And I believe that we will do that because we will come into and we will encounter His glorious might. And we will not be able to stand in His glorious might. It's the same glorious might that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He was dead. He was crucified. He was unrecognizable as a person. And God took that. The Father raised Him up out of that tomb to live in resurrection power. It's the same thing He did for you and for me. It's the same power that we live in. It's the same anointing and the authority that we live in. But so often we can focus on our own things and on our own whatevers and stop focusing on His glorious might, and we just kind of lose our way. But we understand the will of God and the presence of God in our life as we fully understand it according to verse 9. Then we start to get a sense of the glorious might, and we can walk in that glorious might. I need that glorious might to walk in the fullness of God today. I tell you, if I look at myself for 5 minutes, I'm going to get discouraged, and I'm going to get overwhelmed, I'm going to get overcome. But if I start to look at it, had His glorious might, it all becomes okay. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't matter what I'm facing today because of Your glorious might. Not my power, not what I'm trying to jump through, not what I'm offering You, but it's what You've offered me and what I've received through You by faith. Glorious might. Do you catch the word glorious? Powerful, anointed might of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, verse 12, it says, in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. How amazing is it that part of the joy of being a Christian is just simply giving thanks? Yeah, that's good. That's encouraging, because we can do all kinds of things, but we can also give thanks. We may be discouraged to give thanks, but we can still do it. How much more exciting is it to give thanks than to do the opposite? You fill in the blank. Give thanks. And then it goes on. Why? Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light? Just simply giving thanks. Have I thanked the Lord today simply because He saved me? Just simply. What if Jesus... We understand He's a healer. We understand that He restores. We understand that He makes new. But what if He did nothing else for me in all of my life but just save me? Would that be enough to get up in the day, to click our heels together and give thanks? Would that be sufficient? It goes back to verse 9. It says, when we understand the knowledge of God's will, these are the things that are released upon our lives. Because you know what? The enemy does not want you to give thanks. He wants you to care less that you've been saved. He wants you to he just wants that to be the last thought. Yeah, don't bore me again. I've heard it all before. Right? Like, yeah, I've been saved for 30 years. Yeah, what's next? None of that. Just simply overcome and overwhelmed with thankfulness because Jesus Christ has saved me. And He has saved me. He has brought me into His kingdom of light. And He's brought me into an eternity with Him forever. He saved me, as the Bible declares, from an eternal separation from Him, which is an eternal hell, separated from Him, just by faith in Jesus Christ, just by what He did on the cross for me. And as I come into and understand His glorious will and glorious might, and I get a comprehension of that, then all of a sudden I can't stop bubbling up. It just doesn't stop. It just, Lord, I thank You. You saved me. Look what You've done. You're my brother, and God is my Father, and You've released me into this glorious kingdom. Wow. Wow. Again, it's a really good way to start the day. Lord, just thank You. Thank You. I just can't believe it. I'm coming in here today to church, and I'm a little overwhelmed, and I'm a little overcome, but Jesus, You saved me. You saved me. So because of that, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship You, my King, my glorious One. You saved me. You've rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of light. Thank You, Lord. It's all I need. If You never answer another prayer in my life, that I'm good. Man, that's just freedom, man. That's just life. But it comes as we understand and come to a full knowledge of who He is and what He's done for us through His glorious will and might. And then verse 12 starts to, and then it forms verse 12 through 14, which ends our passage. Begins to speak about our inheritance as God's people. And this is tied back to the inheritance of the promised land. God took His people out of slavery and bondage of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And in the promised land, you have an inheritance. We have a share. There's an allotment for you. Just because you're brought into the kingdom of light, there's an allotment for you. It's already set aside. He's brought you from Egypt, which is bondage and slavery. And He brings you into an allotment, a fullness, a share. You have land ownership. You've been deeded land in the kingdom. And it comes with all the rights of a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You've been deeded with that. It's yours. Your name is on it. Because of the name of Jesus is on you. Inheritance. Man, we all want an inheritance. Inheritance. It's yours. Here's the exciting thing. We get two options on the inheritance. We're in to the inheritance. There's no going back. You've been plucked out of Egypt. You've been brought into the promised land, and that's all there is to it. There's just no going back, and we'll get into that in a moment. But there's two inheritances. There's an inheritance that you receive just by the very nature that you put your hand up and said, yes, Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for me, and I by faith I ask you to take away my sins. And I promise to trust in you, place my faith in you for salvation. That brings us into the promised land. But then we have a choice in the promised land. We can be like a Caleb in the promised land. Because we get the inheritance that kind of falls in our lap. I love it. But then we can also get the inheritance that we can fight for. Remember Caleb? He saw the larger hill country. And that was his inheritance to take. Caleb says, I want the larger inheritance. So at the age of 85, Caleb takes the iron chariot, takes the giants out and clears the land. And gets the whole thing. I think that God wants us to have the whole thing. I think he wants us to have the entire inheritance. Not just a part, not just what falls in. That's cool. That's great. But man, let me tell you, I want the fullness of the inheritance. And how do I do that? By understanding the knowledge of the will of God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. The full inheritance. I want it all. You may be wondering, what's my full inheritance? What do you have for me, Lord? God's not wondering. He already knows. Just press towards him. Press towards his will and you'll see it unfold. See, we can go for the inheritance in this world. It's nothing compared to kingdom inheritance. We were a few weeks ago. In case where I think you know, he's not going to tell this joke, but I think I will. A few weeks ago, we went to this this place called. It's a really bad joke, but just bear with me. We went to this place called Egypt Falls. It's voted the number one waterfall in Nova Scotia, and it is delightful. It is in literally the middle of nowhere. It is just like, and so we go, and so we go, we drive and. There's basically no signage. By a miracle, we find the place. And so we're with our three kids. And so we get there, and as we start walking down to this Egypt Falls. And then we get there, the last, 5 minutes, it's just like a pure descent that you have to hold onto a rope, because if not, you fall off a cliff. And so we're just, it's very family-friendly, eh? And so we're going down. We got our three kids, and so we're just, praying the whole time, Lord, may this not be the end, right? And so we're going down. And anyway, so we finally get down there. It's literally terrifying. If you're in Nova Scotia, maybe we'll take you, but just maybe 10 and under, maybe it's a no. So we get down there, and it was literally breathtaking. It was just delightful. You really should go. And then we went for a swim. That was breathtaking, too. It was freezing. Anyway, it was awesome. Just right in the middle of Cape Breton, which is an island, the northern point of Nova Scotia. And so, but here comes a joke. It's really good. I don't know if I can go there again, because the Lord said, don't go down to Egypt again. Yes. You can use that. Yeah. You can pray harder next time for no jokes. It's really bad, I understand. That being said, we don't want to go to Egypt anymore. We don't want to, because that's what's, and let's get into it. What's Egypt? Says in verses 13, 14, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. To say that we are rescued means that we are liberated, saved, delivered from under the bondage of a foreign and cruel master who is Satan. That's who we've been rescued from. We've been liberated, saved, and delivered by Jesus. from under the bondage of a cruel master who is the enemy. And then the term brought speaks of being taken from one kingdom and brought into another. The people, God's people, were in Egypt under a cruel master in the physical realm. And they were brought into another land. And they were placed in another land. And now the land where they have inheritance and they have title and they have freedom and they have life and they have authority and they have anointing. There's a new citizenship in this new land, under a new country, and you have a new king, and his name is Jesus. And we're fully under the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ in this kingdom. You have been brought into his kingdom, his rule, his authority, his anointing, his protection, his plans, his will. And guess what? Nobody will take you out of his kingdom. You're there. No matter what you did this week or didn't do this week, you are his. You have a new passport, a new citizenship, and you can't apply for the old one because that's been torn down by the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ. It's gone. Where's your past? It's gone. It's under Jesus. New citizenship. And so the reality is, under the reality of understanding his knowledge and his will, our hearts can be touched and then we can live as though we're in a new kingdom. Because sometimes we want to live like on the suburb of the kingdom, right? Right? Well, we're not worthy. We're just look at me, look at some horrible person, worm, whatever that is. But there's no suburb. It's a yes, no. It's a pass, fail. You're either in the kingdom or you're not. And so if we're in the kingdom already, we might as well live that way. I mean, the enemy's just going to be chirping nonstop about whatever reason why you can't enjoy your new place in the kingdom and your new allotment, your new inheritance. He's just going to be chirping. He might be reminding you of your past, just reminding him of his future when he's judged by the King of Kings forever. He's already been defeated. Just live in the new kingdom. Live in it. Well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. How could I possibly do that? Because .. You can never get there. But by understanding the knowledge of the will of God by the Holy Spirit. And then we just settle. It's like, okay, this will never make sense to me. I'll never fully get why I can be part of this new kingdom. But the Holy Spirit just drops that into our hearts, the reality that, no, I know I don't get it. I know I don't deserve it. But I'm in. I'm in. And I'm not going back. I'm in and not going back. Anyone in the house is in the kingdom and not going back. Anyone excited about that? I'm excited about that. Let's celebrate that. Just start dancing around. Those thoughts go through your head. Start dancing around. Yeah, but doesn't matter because but by the blood of Jesus, every argument is now over. And that's what verse 14 brings us to. We have been redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. Been redeemed. And it means, redemption simply means you have been purchased for a price. And the price is the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You've been purchased from the bondage of slavery and set free. It is as if you were in prison and now you're not. You're in total freedom. Jesus' last words on the cross, "it is finished," was a commercial term of the day that means paid in full. And what's great about the payment of Jesus is that it's sufficient. It's great. The blood of God was actually enough. 2,000 years ago, everything you did, are doing, will do, was put on the cross on your behalf. just waiting for you to receive it by faith, the release of all that. The blood of Jesus is enough. That's the answer every time. Oh, but it's the blood of Jesus. Right, discussion's over. Right, I forgot about that for a moment. The blood of Jesus was enough. The blood of God on the cross was actually enough for me. All is well. I come in and I can worship in freedom because the blood of God is enough. Wow. But we come to that through a knowledge of the will of God. The full plans and purposes of God for you and me through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Isn't it a wonderful prayer that Paul prayed? And that's a great prayer because you guys can pray that for me and for us at Anchor City. We'll pray that for you. Because how exciting would that be to live in that? Just as we understanding, our understanding, the knowledge of the will of God through Jesus Christ. Release, release, release. So that you, so that you, so that you. Just rapid fire. So that you will please Jesus more than anyone else. So that you will and I will submit and surrender our life to the all-surpassing power of God and live through His power and not our efforts. So that we can walk our life as anointed followers of Christ, not in failure, but in anointing and power of victory and authority through the cross. So that we can be simply consumed by thankfulness because Jesus has saved us. Just simply, Lord, just, I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to, don't let that leave my heart for a moment, Lord. You have saved me, you've redeemed me. So we understand that we've been rescued and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we've escaped eternal separation from Jesus because of what He's done for us. And finally, so we understand that we can walk in our inheritance. That you have been allotted an inheritance. Maybe you didn't understand that. Maybe you didn't realize that. Maybe that large inheritance was sort of in your mind for someone else. No, it's for you. It's for you. The larger inheritance is for you. By Jesus Christ. As we understand the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Let's pray together. Is that okay, Mark? Okay. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bring us, Lord. Bring us to the place of understanding your will by the Holy Spirit. Bring us to that place. Bring us to that place. May that be our heart's desire, that we know your will. We just simply know your will, and we seek you, we desire you, we come to the Word of God, we come to you in worship, we come to you desiring your will, and as that is released upon us, Lord, that our lives are adjusted accordingly, Lord, that the deep things in our heart be released, be moved, be shifted, be restored, be made new, just simply because we have understood your will in a deep and comprehensive way, Lord. So I pray, Lord, as Paul prayed for the Colossian church, Lord, I pray for us this morning, God, that you would bring us to a knowledge of your will through Jesus Christ, all that the Lord has done for us, Lord. I pray that we would not move a muscle, Lord, until we understand the fullness of your will so that we can be released, Lord, and then we just come back to you continually as a well, Lord, and just be fed by you, be fed by your understanding, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.